This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.
Amen. Would you go to the Lord in prayer with us?
Heavenly Father, we come to you with our praise and thanks, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, whom you gave for us and for our sin. We were once not a people, Lord, but you made us yours. We love you. We thank you. We ask that all things would be done and pleasing for you and to you, Lord. We love you. Please receive our praise and thanks. Please go before us this day, Lord. Help us to worship you and praise you through the love of our heart, not just our lips and our tongue, but from our heart deeply, Lord. Draw us closer to you. Bless Pastor Cal as he brings forth the word, Lord. Touch our ears and our hearts. Help us, Lord, to learn from you, to walk in your ways, and to bring honor and glory to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Got a couple of cards I want to read to you. The Second Mile Church family, what a blessing you are to our teachers and staff at Chapel Hill. Thank you for providing breakfast during our Grateful for You week. We are so fortunate to have church partners like you. Praying God's hand be upon you and your congregation as we approach this season of Thanksgiving. That's from Chapel Hill Christian Academy. And then this thank you card is from one of our own. Dear Second Mile family, God bless you with the same peace, hope, and love that you bring to the lives of others. Thank you for all your thoughts and prayers as we start this wild army journey. I'll miss each and every one of you, and I'm so grateful my family has your support. I love you and our blessed church. See you soon. God bless America. Alex Pastel. Amen. All right. I need to say a word of thanks to all of our adults who chaperoned and took a bunch of our teenagers up to Pigeon Forge this weekend. Would you stand so we can recognize all you Hearts on Fire folks? Amen. Thank y'all for what you did. God bless you. And you young people could stand too. It wouldn't hurt you. Go ahead and stand up. If you went to the Hearts on Fire thing, stand to your feet. Come on, guys. There's a few of you here. We had quite a few more go than this, but they must be home napping in bed or something. Lack of sleep, I guess. Anyways, if you have your Bibles this morning, we are in this sermon series, God's Perfect Ten. I've been preaching through the Ten Commandments, and we find ourselves this morning on the Ninth Commandment, and that's found in Exodus chapter 20, and it's verse 16. So, when you find that in your Bible, would you say amen? Amen. All right, y'all are way ahead of me, huh, this morning? All right. could we stand and honor God's word in reverence and the reading of his holy inspired word? I know we've been up and down, but thank you. Exodus 20, verse 16, ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Father, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Give us the truths that we need. These absolute truths are not the 10 suggestions, they're the 10 commandments. And so help us to apply your word to our lives today. We ask it in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. God's Perfect 10 sermon series. We're almost to the end. Now, this coming Sunday, next Sunday, I'll be preaching a Thanksgiving message because this is Thanksgiving week. And then the following Sunday, we'll finish it up with the last of the Ten Commandments. But the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor, deals with something that's very serious to God. And it deals with the sin of lying. Lying is basically being very intentional in trying to deceive someone else. That's in its basic form, I think that's what lying is. And it's condemned by the Lord. And you know, we are surrounded by this, by the breaking of the ninth commandment, are we not? I mean, everywhere you, newspapers lie in order to sell their papers. Salesmen lie so they can sell their goods. Advertisers lie so they can peddle their product. How many of you have seen or heard of fake news? All right, that's what we would call breaking the ninth commandment. Politicians will lie to get your vote. Come on now, say amen. And so we want to talk about this thing called lying this morning, the bearing false witness against your neighbor. And by the way, who's your neighbor? That's right, everybody. And so Proverbs 6:17 says, God hates a lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. Proverbs 6:17. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Wow. And here is the killer verse. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. That's why this is such a serious sin. And that's why, according to Revelation 21:8, that's why I entitled the message, Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire. Because all liars are going to have their part in the lake. We're not talking here about just one lie. It's the pattern of someone's life. Okay? So, having said that, we want to look at three things. The definition of lying, a description of lying, and then the death of lying. We want to put that to bed. So turn with me, if you will. First of all, a definition of lying. Turn to John 8, John's Gospel. John chapter 8 and verse 44. We want to talk about its origin of lying, its operation and its outcome. But let's first of all look at the origin of untruth, of lying. John 8 and verse 44. All right. You are of your father, the devil. Now listen to this. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. The father of all lies is the devil, the sinister minister that we call Satan. The origin of lies comes from the evil one. That's who a lie comes from initially. And you remember what he said to Eve in the Garden of Eden? No, Eve, you're not really going to die if you eat that forbidden fruit. Did Eve wind up dying? He's a liar. And by the way, every time Satan has his mouth open, he's giving you a lie. He's telling you a lie. In the book of Job, he even told God, just allow me, take your hands off of Job, your servant, and let me do what I want to with him, and then he'll curse you to your face. In the New Testament, Satan even used men to slander the precious Lord Jesus so that they could kill him on a cross. All truth comes from God, and all lies comes from Satan. Are y'all with me? You remember the story in Acts chapter 5 when Ananias and Sapphira had sold some property, and they lied about the price of the property that they had sold. Right? You remember that? And then you remember what Simon Peter said to him? He said, why have you allowed Satan to fill your heart and lie to the Holy Spirit? And so when we lie, we are more like the devil than the Lord. When we lie, we're in bad company. Look at your neighbor and say, bad company. All right, now let's look at its operation. 1 John chapter 1, I'm not going to read all of these verses, verses 6 through 10, but verse 6 says, when we lie to others. That's almost a no-brainer, right? Well, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 says, when we lie to ourselves. But most importantly, 1 John 1 and verse 10 says, when we lie to God. And you know, I got to thinking this week about what is the greatest lie that we tell. And I think it's probably, I don't need you, God. Rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ is exactly that. It's a lie. So we've looked at the origin and the operation. What about its outcome? Turn with me to Psalm 52 and verse 2. Psalm 52, the outcome of lying. Where does it lead? Psalm 52 and verse 2 says, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. And so lying cuts like a razor. It harms and it hurts. Psalm 55, 21 says that lying is like a drawn sword. It pierces. James 3 and verse 8 says that lying kills like a deadly poison. How many of you know that reputations, character, individuals, and families have all been destroyed by a lying tongue? Maybe you have experienced that in your own life. Well, Matthew 12 and verse 37, and this one's so important, I've got to read it. Matthew 12, 37. Matthew 12, 37, and well, let me start at verse 36. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by, listen to this, watch this, lean in, hear this, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's strong words from the Word of God. And so lying is very serious, serious thing. Our lies are going to catch up with us. Revelation 22, 15 says, those who love to lie and practice lying will not wind up in heaven. Hell is the ultimate destiny for all liars. That's what the Bible says. So it's a serious thing that we're talking about here this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, don't you lie to me. Now, I want to give you some descriptions of lying quickly, and you'll recognize some of these, but some of these we don't really think about in terms of bearing false witness. There's a lot of different areas. Someone once said, lying has many faces. Slandering is a form of lying. Y'all know what slandering someone is, right? Okay. Psalm 101 and verse 5 says, God will destroy those who slander their neighbor. Well, when I think about that, I think about the scribes and the Pharisees and the enemies of the Lord and how they slandered him. Well, God honored his word and took care of them, of those folks who slandered him. And then Leviticus 19:16 uses a word that we don't use today, but it's all throughout the scriptures called tale bearing. That's a very descriptive word, is it not? Tale bearing says it's not permitted by a child of God. And tale bearing is really, how many of you know what backbiting is? And that's not literally when you go bite somebody on the back. It's when you stir up trouble by talking about someone, not to their face, and you don't know whether it's fact or fiction. And so Proverbs 26:20 says, tale bearing causes strife, and where there is no backbiting and backstabbing, there is no peace. I was in a meeting with our children's ministry this morning, and we opened up with prayer, and it just hit me as I've been studying this all week. We've got tremendous unity in our church, and I want to tell you, I met with how many women in the back here this morning? 8, 9 ladies? And you know what? Our women back here in the children, they don't ever get in a fight. They don't. We've got real unity and love for one another. And I just stopped what I was doing, and Betty said, Brother Cal, why don't you open us in prayer? And so I thank God for the unity that we have here in our church. And there's no backbiting. There's no backstabbing. There's no tail-bearing. There's no slandering. Because if there is, it's going to get dealt with. Amen? So we can't let that stuff cause problems in God's house and in God's church. And then gossiping. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, it's another form of lying, another form of bearing false witness. You know, what is it, y'all, that makes us enjoy gossip? Why don't we want to even listen to it? And I want to say this to you. Someone who will gossip to you will gossip about you. Don't you? Make up your mind not to be a gossiper. Listen, y'all heard about the three preachers, right? It started an accountability group. You know, there's strength in numbers. And so these three pastors decided to get together once a week to try to hold one another accountable and to pray for one another. And they sat down in their first meeting, and one preacher said, you know, y'all really do need to pray for me. And the other two preachers said, but what about? And he said, well, man, I really like to look at women. I love women. He said, y'all need to pray for me. Second pastor spoke up and said, well, y'all need to pray for me. Every time we pass the offering plates and they bring the offering up here to the front, I just want to get my hand in the cookie jar. Y'all need to pray for me. And then the third preacher spoke up and said, well, y'all really do need to pray for me. I'm a gossip and I can't wait to get out of here. Gossiping is a form of lying. And then here's one I hadn't even thought about, but I found it over in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. It's called whispering. Whispering. That reveals those who whisper about other people. Those who won't tell you what's on their heart to your face, but go behind your back and stab you with those words. Well, they're liars. And I want to tell you, backbiting and backstabbing and whispering and hey, did you hear? You know, that's ruined more churches than you can shake a stick at. If you've got something, if you've got a problem with somebody, go see them. Don't go see 12 other people. Go talk to them. I was so blessed. If I brought up his name, you'd know who he is. But he called me and he said, Pastor, I really do need to meet with you. And I said, okay. And so I met with him, and we talked for an hour and a half out in the parking lot of the Dollar General store. And he said, you know, I've got this, this, and this against you. And I said, well, who all of you told this to? He said, nobody. I just wanted to get with you. And I so appreciated that. And I don't know if those three things that he mentioned it were sinful, but it hurt him. And so I apologized to him. And so he texted me as soon as he got home at night. He said, thank you for being so generous with me and patient with me. And it was just an amazing thing. And so when you've got issues with somebody, don't start whispering. Don't start going to tell somebody else. You go talk to them face to face. Amen? Insinuating. Here's another one. Now, Proverbs 6, verses 12 and 13 talk about this. Insinuating something is a form of lying. You can lie and say very little. Did you know that? The inflection, body language, the inflection of your voice, a shrug of the shoulders, a long look, your body language. Who does she think she is? Sometimes insinuating something, whether it's true or not, can be a form of lying. And here's my all-time favorite, flattery. Flattery. Proverbs 26:28 says, a flattering mouth works ruin. Now, y'all, there's time for legitimate praise. Amen? One person agrees with me. There's time for legitimate praise. And it ought to happen up in here because we owe God everything. And when you come in here, you ought to come in here with praise in your heart and on your lips. But what flattery is insincere praise for someone. Flattery is something that you would say to their face, but never behind their back. For instance, it would be kind of like saying, "Oh my, what a beautiful dress you have on." And then you walk away thinking, "Well, she's gained so much weight, she needs to wear something else besides that dress." You better be careful with flattery. Preacher, that was a wonderful sermon. And the next thing I hear, there was roast preacher for lunch that day. Just be careful with flattery. And by the way, Psalm 55:21 says that a flatterer's words are smoother than butter, but he has war in his heart. Flattery is kind of like perfume. It's okay to smell it, but don't swallow it. Write that one down. It's okay to smell it, but don't swallow it. Flattery is kind of, when I say man, I'm talking in generic terms there, okay? Man's the only animal that when you pat him on the back, his head begins to swell. Some of y'all will get that on the way home. And here's a word of advice for you. Put this one down. Lean in. Get this straight. You are not nearly as bad as you think you are. And you are not nearly as good as you think you are. And that's kind of what flattery plays on, see? And so flattery is a form of lying. And by the way, let me just say this before we move on to the last part here. When you hear a lie, and you know it's a lie, and you remain silent, it's just as if you had told the lie yourself. You're just as guilty as the one who told it. And so those are all descriptions of lying. I don't know where we all fit in those areas, but you be very careful. This is a very serious sin to God. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. God hates a lying tongue. You see, I'm thankful that God loves sinners, but He hates sin. And the things that He hates, we ought to hate, right? So let's look at the defeat of lying. How do you whip? You know, sometimes, have you ever noticed this? You tell one lie, and then what do you got to do? You got to go tell another one. And then you got to tell another one. You got to keep telling them to cover up the last lie, right? And so the best issue is just don't tell one. Just don't lie. Let's look at the defeat of lying. So turn with me to Psalm 120 and verse 2. Psalm 120 and verse 2. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Now that's from the psalmist. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. You know, in order to change our behaviors and our habits as we've moved through this God's Perfect 10 sermon series, in order to change, you've got to fall in love with the truth. And that's what he's talking about here in Psalm 120 and verse 2. We must love the truth enough to want to change. That's what the word repent is all about. The word repentance is a big Bible word, and it just simply means a turning, a change of the will. A spiritual U-turn, so to speak. Y'all have heard me use that term. And so the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart is what comes out of your mouth. Your old country boy preacher says, you know, whatever comes up in the bucket is what's down in the well. And so we got to be careful. We got to love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10 reveals that if you're saved, you will love the truth. You will love the truth. When's the last time you've heard a sermon series on the Ten Commandments? Not very often. These are absolute truths. These are true today. They were true yesterday, and they'll be true forever. And so we need to fall in love with the truth. And then and I want to read this one. Philippians 4 and verse 8 says that we need to learn the truth. Philippians 4, if you've got a Bible, look at this. I want everybody to see this. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Adam's helping y'all cheat again. All right, here we go. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. You hear that? Whatever things are noble. Whatever things are just. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are of good report. Are you recognizing a common denominator here? If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That'd be a great Bible verse to learn right there, to put to memory. To think on these things and to learn them. I'll make you this promise. If you will fill your heart and mind with the Word of God, you'll not only learn the truth, you'll have something to stand on when you need it. Hallelujah. And then I want to close with this. Live the truth. Love the truth. Learn the truth. And then live it out. Live the truth. Ephesians. Just turn left in your Bible a couple of pages. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all. Speaking the truth how? In love. I don't ever need to preach and teach in an angry mindset. We don't have the right to be unkind. Let me say that again. As believers, we don't have the right to be kind. Unkind. Kindness is a gift, is one of the fruits of the Spirit. We're to be kind. We're to be loving. Have to be. And by the way, we're not going to win a lost world by getting in arguments with them. That's another sermon for another time, but we need to be loving enough. Now, you need to speak the truth, but all truth without love leads to legalism, and all love without truth leads to liberalism. You can write that one down, too. And so we give the truth to folks, but we lovingly give it to them. Now, look at verse 25 in Ephesians 4. Same chapter. Ephesians 4:25 says this. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Who's your neighbor? For we are members of one another. Put it away. Commit yourself to the truth. Christ can change your heart, your tongue, your mind, and your life. Brother Shep and I were, man, great, great friends, great buddies. And he used to have a worldwide tape ministry. You remember that, Beverly? And he would send these tapes out all over the world. I mean, Brother Shep had basically an eighth grade education. He wound up getting his GED, but he had a worldwide ministry. And he would send these tapes out every month all over the world. And so what he had to buy so he could continue to tape these messages and these sermons were some fresh tapes. But what he learned is the master tape he could keep there in the office, and he'd hit a button and he'd erase both sides of that cassette tape. And then he could start over again. 1 John 1:7 says we can bring these old lying tongues and hearts of ours to the Lord Jesus, and his blood will cleanse us from all sin. It'll erase all the junk in our lives. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. He shed his blood so that I could be forgiven of the sin of bearing false witness against my neighbor. I wish I could stand up here and tell you I've never told a lie, but that would be a lie. But hopefully I'm lying less now than I used to. Because you see, you can't continue on in sin when you love the truth and you're learning the truth and you're living the truth out. Let's pray together. Father, I don't know what you want to do with this message today, but I know this is what I was supposed to speak on. And so, Father, first and foremost, Satan is a liar. And he continues to lie to us. He's the father of all lies. And any lie that's told begins with him. And so, God, help us to recognize a lie when it comes to us in our heart and in our spirit. And I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters right now. If we ever needed to be men and women of truth, today is that day. We are surrounded by untruth. We're surrounded by falsehood. We're surrounded by false witness. We're surrounded by liars. Oh God, help us to lovingly be men and women of truth. Please help us, God. Only you can make that change in our life. And Lord, the greatest lie is saying verbally or even without any words, I don't need you, Lord, and to walk away from you. We desperately need you. We are hopelessly lost without you. And if there's someone here today that's lost in their sin, does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, oh God, I pray right now that that conviction of the Holy Spirit might fall fresh on that individual and help them to understand what sin has done to them. It separates us from you. And then help them to know, Father, that you loved us so much you sent your Son, your one and only Son, to live a perfect, sinless life so we could be forgiven of our sin. And Jesus died and paid the price for every single sin we've ever committed. And right now, I pray that that person might just pray and receive Christ. Just trust God with all of his or her heart and receive that free gift of salvation and just turn their lives over to your control. Make us men and women of truth, Father. Help us to love the truth and keep learning the truth. And just as importantly, to live the truth out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Kevin, if you'd dull those lights, please. Right now is the most important time of our service. Right now. Please, unless it's an emergency, don't get up and leave. Unless you might disturb someone in making a decision for Christ. This is the most important time of our service, right now. Andrew's going to lead us in an invitational hymn. And he really prays about the music that we need to hear. And so whatever he leads us in is for you. And we'd ask you to come. This is an old-fashioned altar, yeah. It's not real comfortable. But you know what? Getting right with God isn't comfortable. But it's the right thing to do. And so would you come this morning and get that issue right with him, whatever it is. If you prayed to receive Christ this morning, we want to know about it. Please say yes to Jesus. Please say yes to him. And you can walk out of here cleansed, whole, saved, filled with God's truth. But it's up to you. It's up to you. Let's quietly and reverently stand our feet. Andrew, you lead us.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.